Good morning, everyone. I didn't think I was nervous till I saw my name in the bulletin. Now I'm a little nervous. And for those of you who don't know me by now, my name is Jeff Kallenbach, and I'll be filling in for Stephen Lord this morning. And when Stephen approached me to preach, I must admit that I was a little reluctant, and I told him that I wasn't sure that preaching was really my thing. And he said, "Oh, don't worry about it. Just take one of those communion talks of yours and add 5 minutes to it and you'll be fine." I said, "Okay." And I thought, wow, he's either very confident in my abilities or maybe he's just trying to tell me that my communion talks are too long. I don't know. Anyway, here I am. And folks, I just want to let you know up front that I'm not going to pretend to be some gifted Bible teacher or expository preacher. I'm not any of those things. I'm just a simple guy with simple words expressing or sharing my heart and doing the best that I can, okay? Today I'd like to try something a bit unorthodox, but something I think you'll appreciate by the end of the lesson. I'm going to share with you the lyrics of a song, and that I'm pretty sure that none of you have heard before. It's called Crossing That Line, and the words, I think, are pretty special, and I'm really hoping that you're going to benefit from hearing them for the very first time. You know, most songs fit into one of a couple of different categories. For example, some songs are known for their catchy melodies, but they sometimes have weak and repetitive and oftentimes boring lyrics. Other songs, on the other hand, are they may not have the greatest melodies in the world, but they have a really rich, thoughtful lyrics that either make us think deeply or bring to the surface really strong emotions. And since I'm not going to sing to you this morning, thank goodness, by default, I guess we can conclude that this song's strength would have to be its lyrics, okay? So what I hope to achieve in the short time that we have is to unpack the words to this song and give you a really good understanding of what I think the songwriter's trying to get across or what they're trying to get you, the listener, to feel. Now, this song has a modern structure to it. It has three verses, a chorus after that repeats after each verse, and what's called a bridge that connects the second and the third verses. The bridge usually slightly has a different melody or cadence to it, and it's really designed to build tension in the song and build it up to the climax. It creates what I call the aha moment in the song. So if we can have the gentleman in the back advance the slide. We're going to use slides today. We'll take a look at the first verse of Crossing That Line. The first verse goes like this. There was a day when I said there's no way that he could be part of my life. I felt I was fine on the world's side of the line. I was the master of my own heart. Then somebody told me that I needed somebody and I didn't know just what to say. He told me how his master had opened his eyes and showed him a better way. The songwriter opens with the line, there was a day when I said there's no way. And specifically the phrase, there was a day, is almost used like the storybook introduction, Once Upon a Time, right? Meaning, this is where the story begins and this verse is perhaps part of a larger or bigger storyline. The author's use of the words, I said, would indicate what? Well, that this song is written, is what's called a first-person narrative form, meaning that the songwriter is the narrator of the story, and is actually writing about themselves. In the second line, we don't really know who this he person is in the song. We know that it's a male, obviously. And it could be just about anyone, an estranged father, a son, a husband, a brother, a friend. But what we do know for sure is that this person, the songwriter, has some pretty strong feelings towards this person, doesn't he? And is using some pretty strong words like, no way, to convey that they have absolutely no use for this person in their life. The phrase, I felt I was fine on the world side of the line, is an interesting choice of words, I think. In that not many people today use this word world to describe their circumstances in life, let alone world side of the line. What does that mean? The only place where I've seen this word used in this context is really in the Bible, like the 1 John passage that we just read. So for me, this is the first indication that this songwriter's experience may in fact be a religious one or a spiritual one. And the phrase, world side of the line, is the first reference to this idea of a line. And what does a line do? It separates, it creates a boundary. And the song clearly starts to position this world on this side of the line, and what's on the other side of the line, we just don't know yet. And when the songwriter says, I was the master of my own heart, I love this line because it's so descriptive, and it sounds like they're not only content with their worldly circumstances, but they sound so prideful in their self-reliance, don't they? Then, indicating some passage of time, the songwriter says, somebody told me that I needed somebody. And on the surface, this riddle-like passage seems rather abstruse, doesn't it? It's almost like the songwriter's trying to get you, the listener, to dig a little deeper and try to figure out the mystery of who are these somebodies. And at this point, I guess the somebodies could be just about anyone. Perhaps a friend, a relative, or a loved one is offering some kind of advice or encouragement to the songwriter to do what? To seek out medical advice, counseling, spiritual guidance? We don't really know. But what we do know is that the words must have had a profound effect because the songwriter says, I didn't know what to say. In essence, it either made him feel really awkward or literally left them speechless. The songwriter then goes on to describe how this first somebody is now revealed as a male. It's a he. Told me how his master had opened his eyes and showed him a better way. First, the use of the word master is another tip-off for me, and I think indicates that the songwriter's experience must be a spiritual one. And the words opened his eyes and showed him a better way suggest that, hey, this guy is just sharing his own testimony of how something profound in their life came along and completely changed the way they looked at their life. I don't know about you, but it's starting to look to me like this first somebody's just really sharing the gospel with the songwriter. And if that's true, the second somebody would have to be who? Jesus, right? And if this is true, it got me to thinking about all of the scriptures that this person could have shared with the songwriter that would render them speechless or perhaps wanting to hear more. I can imagine them starting with scriptures that establish the sinful condition of man or the corruption and foolishness of the world that this songwriter seems completely okay with living in. Like Psalm 53:1, which says, the fool in his heart says there is no God. They are corrupt, doing abominable iniquity. There is none who does good. Or perhaps 1 John 1:8, which warns us about denying our sinful condition. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And all the scriptures teaching God's people how to interact with the world, like Romans 12:2, which says, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Or Matthew 6:19 through 21, which says, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. And then goes on to say, where your treasure is, there will your heart also be. And then, all the scriptures warning the consequences of choosing the world over God, like Matthew 16:26, for what will profit a man if he gains the whole world but forfeits his soul? Or 1 John 2:17, which predicts, the world is passing away, and also its lusts, but the one that does the will of God lives forever. And then I started to think about this person sharing scriptures with the songwriter, explaining why man, in fact, needs a Savior. Like 2 Corinthians 5:21, which says it perfectly for me, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. And finally, I thought about all the scriptures that explain the songwriter's explains to the songwriter why Christ, following Christ, offers a truly better way of living, like Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Or Philippians 4:19, which promises, and all my God will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And finally, Romans 8:28, which says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. Wow, now that's a lot of scriptures, and I know I'm speculating here, and we don't really know exactly what this person told the songwriter, but I think these scriptures and the gospel message of Christ are powerful, aren't they? And I think clearly have an impact on what the songwriter does next. So I'm going to ask if we can advance the slide. We're going to take a look at the chorus and see what the songwriter has to say in the chorus. It goes like this. Now I'm crossing that line. I'm making Him mine. I'm learning to trust Him each day of my life. And sometimes I feel like running away. But Jesus, He bids me to stay. Stay over the line. The phrase, now I'm crossing that line, sounds like the songwriter's at a point of decision and is now responding to the gospel message that the guy in verse 1 was perhaps sharing. Perhaps even responding directly to Acts 2:38, which says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. I think it's clear that the songwriter is a believer and is now is ready to be obedient to Christ in baptism, which I believe is the cross and the line part, and also ready to hand over their life to Him, making Him mine. And I think of a lot of us can remember the day that we were actually baptized into the Lord, and we were euphoric, we were on fire for Him, and we were active, and it seems like our Bible studies and our prayer lives were at their peak. And like the verse says, we were building trust in Him, and our faith was maturing every day because we had the gift of the Holy Spirit with us. But sometimes, like the song says, we feel like running away, don't we? Because we know the Christian walk's not an easy one. And we still have to live in this world, and the ruler of this world continues to tempt us and to discourage us and lie to us. But Jesus, like the song says, He bids me to stay with Him. And He tells us this in John 10:14-15. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. My sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. You see, Jesus, like the good shepherd, will never abandon us. And as long as we stay with Him, as long as we stay over that line, so to speak. And incidentally, when the songwriter says, Jesus, He bids me to stay, I think we have a clear understanding now that this truly is a spiritual experience for the songwriter. Okay, so we've looked at the first verse and now the chorus. I'm going to ask that we advance the slide one more time. We're going to take a look at the second verse of Crossing That Line. And as I said before, the second verse is very similar in structure. And the verse goes like this. Then came the days when I said, I'm okay. I can handle this part on my own. I felt I was fine living straddled on the line. You see, I'd given my heart on loan. Then somebody told me that I needed somebody, and I didn't know just what to say. So I asked Him for forgiveness, and He told me that He loved me. The price had already been paid. So at this point in the song, you can assume that the songwriter's been baptized, they've given their life over to Christ, and they're now entering that second phase of their Christian walk. But unlike the first verse where they said, no way that He could be a part of my life, they're now saying things like, I'm okay, I can handle this part on my own. And the phrase, I felt like fine living straddled on the line, it sounds like the songwriter's become a little complacent and self-reliant again. I love the line, I'd given my heart on loan, because it shows that the songwriter is conflicted and clearly has some identity issues, with one foot in the body of Christ and the other in the world still. So much so that another somebody comes along, comes into the picture, and they're now telling them the same exact thing that they were told in verse 1. Hey, you need somebody. And once again, it says the songwriter doesn't really know what to say. They have absolutely no response. Folks, there's nothing more depressing than to be a Christian and to have somebody approach you as if you weren't a Christian. Because they can't tell. Because you're not bearing any fruit in your life. And again, I think about the scriptures that might have been used by the second somebody to silence the songwriter, like Titus 1:16. They claim to know God, but by their actions, they deny me. Or Isaiah 29:13. These people come to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Matthew 6:24. No one can serve two masters. Either they will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. And Matthew 7:16 through 17, I like this one. You can detect them by the way they act, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit. You need never confuse grapevines with thorn bushes or figs with thistles. Different kinds of fruit trees can quickly be identified by examining their fruit. And finally, Revelation 3:15 through 16. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot, and I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. Wow. I think those scriptures would just about silence anybody, not just the songwriter, don't you? So what happens next? It says that the songwriter asks for forgiveness. In 1 John 1:9, it says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then the second somebody told me that he loved me. Romans 8:39 says, no power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And then tells the songwriter, hey, the price has already been paid. Hebrews 10:12 says, but when Christ had offered for time a single sacrifice for sins, He sat down at the right hand of God. Or Romans 8:1, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So does this person in the verse tell the songwriter that they need to be rebaptized and start over? Or perhaps insinuate that they weren't a Christian to begin with? No, they tell them that the one-time blood sacrifice of Jesus is sufficient to cover all sins for those who are in Christ, even those sins that are committed in the future. The price had already been paid. Now I'm crossing that line. I'm making Him mine. I'm learning to trust Him each day of my life. And sometimes I feel like running away, but Jesus, He bids me to stay. Stay over the line. The end of the second chorus. I really like that even though the words to the chorus are identical, they take on a completely different meaning, I think, after verse 2. Crossing that line after verse 1 is all about accepting Christ for the very first time. Well, crossing that line after verse 2 comes at a time when the songwriter has stumbled in their Christian walk and they're looking for forgiveness and reconciliation with the Lord. I think that recognizing and then repenting of our sins are important first steps in helping us to mature our faith and then learning to trust and depend on God, that He will always be there to help us no matter what comes along. And 1 Corinthians 10:13 really makes this clear. It says, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. You know, our walk with the Lord is a dynamic and changing one. It's full of challenges. I'd love to tell you that our Christian life is a linear progression of faith and maturity, but it's not. It's full of setbacks. We take one step forward, we take two steps back. We take two steps forward, we take one step back. The only constant we have in all of this is the love of God, which promises to be faithful to the end. Okay, gentlemen, let's advance the slide. We'll take a look at what's called the bridge. And as I said before, the bridge connects the two verses, and remember that this is a little different melody or cadence. And the verse goes like this. I know that some might ask, what is this line that you sing? A line that separates God from man, please understand, the line is sin. I think the songwriter adds this section to the song to help those who are still confused by this idea of a line and what it means. Is this a literal line or is it a figurative line? Well, I think we'd have to say it's figurative. It's certainly not biblical. And I think it helps to create imagery for us to see how sin, in fact, separates man from God, just like a line separates one thing from another. It helps us to see more in a more meaningful way just how desperate our lives would be without Him. And even though nothing can separate us from God's love for us, Isaiah 59:2 makes it pretty clear when it says, "But your iniquities have separated from you from God. Your sins have hidden His face from you so that He will not hear." And all we can do is say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for our sins and cleanse us from all of our unrighteousness so that we can be reconciled with you and return to your loving arms. You see, Jesus is the only way that we're able to cross that line of sin and be fully reconciled with the Father. The song concludes with the third verse, the final verse. If we could advance the slide one more time. And it goes like this. And now is the day that I know there's a way. My life is not my own. I know I'll be fine living on the Lord's side of the line. He is the master of my heart. Then somebody told me that I should tell somebody. And I'm not sure I know what to say, but I'll ask you to love Him and trust Him and serve Him. He'll show you a better way. At this point, the songwriter jumps to the present. And you can tell that they've completely given their life over to Christ when they say things like, my life is not my own, and living on the Lord's side of the line, and He is the master of my heart. It reminds me of these scriptures, like 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20. You are not your own. You are bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Colossians 2:6 through 7. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You know this verse. And one final time, the songwriter encounters a somebody. But this time, instead of sharing the gospel or reprimanding them for becoming lukewarm, the somebody recognizes the fruit in their life, and they start to encourage them to share their faith when they say, hey, you know what? You should go out and tell somebody. And again, I think of all the scriptures that might have inspired this conversation, like Matthew 5, 14 through 15. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. Romans 1:12, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. And Mark 16:15, and He said to them, go into all of the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Just like all the other verses, the songwriter seems or is left speechless, but this time it's not from amazement or from shame, but because they truly don't know how to share their faith. And finally, the songwriter concludes the verse by taking the first step in sharing that faith and offering these simple words, that I'll ask you to love Him, to trust Him, and serve Him. He'll show you a better way. At this point, the songwriter is capable, or I ask myself, is this songwriter capable of leading a Bible study or preaching the Word? I don't know, probably not. But for me, the words come across as being totally sincere and show a confidence that a life in Christ is a much better way of living and definitely worth the journey. I love this verse because the listener switches from being a casual observer of the song to actually being part of the storyline. We are now the ones with whom the songwriter is sharing their faith. And I think that's pretty cool. And the song ends with the final chorus. Now I'm crossing that line. I'm making him mine. I'm learning to trust him each day of my life. And sometimes I feel like running away, but Jesus, he bids me to stay. Stay holding the line. Well, if you haven't figured out by now, the writer of this song is me. I wrote this song almost 30 years ago. I'm not a songwriter, I know that. I never wrote anything before this or after. I never published the song. I never recorded it or performed it in front of a live audience. Folks, I'm not even a one-hit wonder. I'm a wonder of one, because all I've ever done is wonder, why in the world did I write this one and only song in my life? You know, sometimes songwriters will jot down the words to a song and then they'll put it away and then later come back, resurrect it, and record it. As I was preparing this lesson, I began to think about this lesson and perhaps using this song as a part of the lesson. And I thought, well, maybe, just maybe, I wrote this song so that I could share it with you some 30 years later. I don't know for sure. But what I do know is that for some reason, God moved me to write down these words about my Christian walk. And I pray more than anything that the words to this song will be an encouragement to you in your walk. My only regret in life is that I spent way too much of it in verses 1 and 2 and not nearly enough time living the joys of verse 3. And folks, I don't know where you are in your lives right now. Perhaps you're still living on the world side of the line. You really never thought about offering your life to Christ. Maybe you're straddling that line still and you're sad because you know that your life's not bearing fruit like you'd like it to. And maybe you're a long-time Christian. You've been living on the Lord's side of the line and you're just now looking for that opportunity to step out and share your faith for the first time. But you really just don't know how to go about it. Well, I know that the church here in Liberty is a wonderful, loving congregation with elders and members who would love to talk with you, to study with you, pray for you, and encourage you in your Christian walk. And like the song says, if you'll love Him and trust Him, serve Him, and I'm going to add, obey Him, I can tell you with all the confidence in the world that He will most definitely offer you a better way, if you'll just let Him. If you're subject to this invitation in any way, cross that line with us this morning. Let your needs be known while together we stand and we sing.
Thank you for encouraging us with that. Those words, I think Jeff holds a record now for the longest preparation of a sermon. With those encouragements, I have some other encouragements that I want to share with you. There's several things in the bulletin. I won't mention all of them, but I think some of those are something that we need to think about and let it encourage us. Also, not only are you giving your money, but we have our members giving their time to share with other people the gospel and reach out. And by the way, VBS in bulletin you can read starts tomorrow night at 6:30, so remember to invite your friends to bring the children so they can come to that. We are growing in our congregation. We have a new member. You can read in your bulletin. Also, wanted to let you know that we have several visitors this morning. Some might be visiting us because they're seeking to learn more about God. Some might be traveling through and just wanted to worship with the saints this morning. And some have moved to the community and they're looking to place, get a new church home. So I encourage each of you to, if you see somebody you don't know, talk to them. They might be a visitor. And encourage them to come back and get to know them better. Let's all go now to God in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for blessing us with an uplifting worship service this morning. We come to worship You and remember our Christ who died to forgive us. And we come to encourage each other, and we did that this morning. We encourage each other as we see our family growing in love and service and commitment to You. Help us to trust You and obey You. Help us look to these young persons and remember back when we first made a commitment to be Christians and or baptized, that we can always have that same love for You, and we can have a love for one another too. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.